So you have to sign up to say, this is my night to invite. So sign up. Now, even if you don't sign up, please be inviting people to come, all right? Certainly. And we're just looking forward to it. And my topic today is exactly on that revival. So turn to Psalm 85, please. Psalm 85 and verses 4 through 7. Psalm 85, we're going to look at verses 4 to 7 today. You know, when we study revivals and look at revivals in the past, one thing, there's several things that are always in common. But one of the things is that the people were prepared. In other words, the people were ready. The evangelist just didn't come in and spark it himself. No, God really, God provoked people, and people responded and prepared themselves before the evangelist ever came. So it's my goal this morning to maybe, perhaps with the Lord's help, to provoke you a little bit and to get our mindset thinking, Lord, please send revival. Send revival to this church. Send revival to my family. Send revival to myself. Send revival to this community. Send revival to this nation. And certainly we can be praying that direction. And Psalm 85, 4 through 7 speaks of that. Before we read that text, let me just give you a few definitions and some history. The word revival simply means to live again. V-I-V-E is to live, re is again. So to live again, in the biblical sense, and this quote is in your bulletin, in the biblical sense, it means to awaken our hearts, to awaken in our hearts an increased awareness of the presence of God, a new love for God, a new hatred for sin, and a hunger for His Word. Really, there's two aspects of revival. One is to bring in the lost, and we certainly want to see the lost saved. It's my prayer that maybe we have at least one saved, and that God usually does that. Maybe owe me a little faith. We should pray for more. But we want to pray for the lost to be saved. We want to invite the lost to come. A second aspect of revival is Christians getting right with the Lord. That is really the meaning of revival, is that to live again, to get right with God. Many revivals have taken place in the world's history. Of course, after the Reformation, when the truth of the just shall live by faith and the truth of salvation by faith apart from works was learned, the churches got a little cold and they got a little formalistic. And so God sent some revivals main revival in the 17th century, 18th century under Jonathan Edwards and George Whitfield. It was called the Great Awakening. This is when Jonathan Edwards preached the famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. The dates for that are usually given 1725 to 1760. Also at the same time in England was the Wesley Revival. God used George Whitfield, a mighty preacher in the colonies. And many, many people turned to the Lord. In fact, they say the Great Awakening is what really prompted America to be right with God for the War of Independence. In the 1800s, God sent another revival called the Second Great Awakening, and that was more the camp meeting revival taking place in Kentucky and those areas of the Appalachian Mountains. In fact, it started with the Cane Ridge Camp Meeting in 1801 in Kentucky. And that sparked many more camp meetings, many, many years. They say up to 3,000 people were saved. In 1857, you have the Fulton Street Revival, and that began in New York City. This is one of the most amazing to me, where a man by the name of Jeremiah Lamphere, a businessman, he said, let's have a noon prayer meeting. And so he gathered some of his businessmen friends together when he saw the debauchery in New York City, and the crime and the drunkenness and so forth on the streets. Six people gathered at noon to pray. The next week, he invited others. There were 14 people. The week after that, there were 23, then 40. And by the time this thing was all over, weekly prayer meetings were spreading all across the United States, with many people being converted, all started by one man, Jeremiah Lamphere. In the late 1800s, 1900s, you have evangelists sweeping across American England, such as D.L. Moody, Charles Finney, Billy Sunday. Another interesting revival took place in 1904 in Wales. It's called the Welsh Revival. And that began to the preaching of Evan Roberts. As many as 100,000 people were saved through that as it spread on. After in the 1900s, you have 1949, the Hebrides Revival with Duncan Campbell. And then many, many other churches have had revivals, local church revivals, where God has done great things in the 1900s and into the new century. But holding revival meetings doesn't mean revival will happen. It's just simply we're having a meeting and a speaker. Revival depends on us. It depends on you. It depends on me. God, is my heart prepared to be revived? Oh God, send us revival. Look at Psalm 85 and verse 4. This is the prayer of the psalmist. And he says, turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. There's three words I want you to focus on, three aspects of his prayer this morning. Number one, turn us. Number two, revive us. And number three, mercy us. Let's pray, preparing for revival. To God, we pray you'll help. Lord, help our hearts and our minds to be focused, God, on what you can do. Not only just in our own hearts, and that's where it begins, but Lord, what you can do in our family, what you can do in this congregation, what you can do in this community, God. Father, there's been small revivals just started in local churches that have spread in amazing ways once you got hold of it. God, we've already seen your power in the past. We've seen it at Vacation Bible School. Lord, you did abundantly above what we could even ask or think. Lord, do it again, we pray. All this community is in such need of the gospel. So many are lost. Without Christ, with no hope. God, I pray you'll bring them in. I pray, Lord, you'll bring the teenagers in. I pray, Lord, you'd Father, stir our own hearts and may our hearts be revived. Forgive us, Lord, from complacent Christianity. Forgive us, Lord, from just going to church and playing church, God. Help it to be real in our hearts and in our lives. Give us a passion for you, God, I pray. Lord, I pray you'll do it. And Lord, we ask your blessing here on this message this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look in this text of Scripture, we want to look at these three things here. And as I mentioned, this is a prayer. And really, many of these revivals I just mentioned started with prayer. The Welsh revival, Evan Roberts said he was praying for 13 years for revival. In the Hebrides Islands off the coast of Scotland, two women got together and decided to pray. And God gave them such a burden for revival. And these ladies were in their 80s. One was blind and one had arthritis. And they said, we're just going to pray. Eventually, they went to their preacher and said, we are so burdened for revival. We've been praying for it for weeks. And the preacher said, well, let's get a minister in here. And they got Duncan Campbell to come. And God used an amazing, amazing revival there. And that was in 1949. That's not too distant past. But prayer has been essential in every revival. And my heart desire for you this week is that you would pray. Would you join me in prayer? Would you join me in earnest prayer for this revival? We're not bringing Dr. Wendell Calder in just because we like him, although we do like him. We're not bringing him in just because he's a good preacher, although he is that. We're bringing him in because, God, we want you to do something here in our midst. And so look at this prayer. I think this prayer is a good prayer and excellent prayer to pray. And we can pray these three things. First of all, number one, God, would you turn us? Turn us. Think it out on just a minute. Turn us involves turning around, going one direction and then the other. Think of about someone maybe that walked out the front door of your house and maybe even there was a little bit of a disagreement or something. And you called their name. Maybe it was a son. Maybe it was a sister. Maybe it was mom, dad, relative, friend. But you called their name and it said, hey, Joe. And then maybe perhaps, and this is what you always want to do, want them to stop. And they stop and then they what? They turn around and listen and have a conversation. See, that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to turn and turn from our sin in the direction we're going and turn around to God. You know, we use that expression a lot. We say, I turned to alcohol. I turned to drugs. We use those expressions, don't we? How about turning to the Lord? I turn to the Lord. Can you put a time in your life when you said, hey, I turn to the Lord? Now, you can tell me when you got saved. But too often salvation is just getting our ticket to heaven and then just say, thank you, Lord, for my ticket to heaven, and I'll just go on living my life the way I want to. No, we're talking about a turn to God in my time of need, Even if I don't realize my time of need, I turned to God. I turned to God. There was a movie that was put out. It was quite popular. And I'm not endorsing the movie or anything about it. I don't think I ever watched it. But it was called The Blind Side. An interesting thing about it was a family took on this homeless person, and they nurtured him in the things of the Lord, and they showed him Christ's love. And actually, he became first-round draft pick in 2009 of the Baltimore Ravens. But the interesting thing they mentioned, and here's what I'm getting to, the interesting thing they mentioned, the family that picked up this homeless person, as they were driving down the road, they saw him, and they said the two most important words in our whole life, and it changed our life, was when the mom said to the dad, "Turn around." And they stopped the car, and they turned around, and they picked up that young person, all right? Turn around. God, turn us, turn us. Evan Roberts in the Welsh Revival used a similar expression, but his prayer, and I said many of these revivals were based on prayer, his prayer, "Lord, bend me," or "bend us." That was a simple two-word prayer. He said, "Bend me. Bend my heart to do your will. Bend me away from my sin. Bend me. Turn us. God, would you do something with me? Help me to stop going the direction that I am going and go the direction you want me to go. Bend me, Lord. Turn me." Interesting thing about the Welsh Revival is that this man, Evan Roberts, who prayed that prayer, "Bend me," he was a pastoral student, only 26 years old. And he felt called to the ministry. He was actually taking classes and happened to be, I guess, in his home church at that time. And he'd been praying for revival. He was burdened for revival. And so he told his pastor, by the way, this is not a 50-year-old man that was ministering, all right? If you're a young person, 26 years old, all right, that's not very old. You might think, and if you're 17, you might think that's old, okay, but not very old at all. The man's studying for the ministry, all right? He told his pastor, and he said, "Hey, I've been burned about revival." And so the pastor said, "Well, after our Wednesday night prayer meeting, I'll give you a few minutes. Anybody that wants to stay can stay, and you can preach to them." They gave him an opportunity anyway. Wasn't even in the Wednesday night prayer meeting. It was afterwards. 17 people stayed, and Evan Roberts preached for 2 hours. Not one of them left. And when he gave the invitation, he just shared what was on his heart. When he gave the invitation, 17 people came forward and knelt at the altar and prayed. And God said, "Oh God, please send revival." You want to know what his message was? Here were his 4 points. I'll give them to you. These are good. Evan Roberts' message on that Wednesday evening, he said, number one, confess all known sin to God. Number two, deal with and get rid of all doubtful areas of your life. Number three, be ready to obey the Holy Spirit instantly. Number four, confess Christ publicly. Well, that would be my message right there this morning. Those are good, aren't they? Hey, confess all known sin. Get rid of doubtful areas of your life. You know, doubtful areas are what hinder us almost more than anything. Be ready to obey the Holy Spirit instantly when He speaks, "Yes, Lord, I'll obey." I think it's going to be like our theme song, isn't it, Pastor Jeff Neal? "Yes, Lord, I'll obey when God's Spirit speaks to me." And number four, confess Christ publicly. How many of us have ever confessed Christ outside the four walls of this church? We sing, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know." Do we ever mention Christ's name outside these four walls? Confess Christ publicly. Boy, tell you what, God got a hold of those 17 people. And Evan Roberts, that first week, they decided to have revival meetings all that week with Everett Roberts preaching. 60 people got saved that first week. And then it just went on and on. It went for it, and that spread from Wales to other places and other villages and hamlets all over England. They counted up in the next 1.5 years, about 100,000 people got saved, and it all started with that one man. Listen to some of the results. We don't see results like this, and this is just history. You can read it just as I read it. The results of that revival, okay, God did something. All the taverns and liquor stores went out of business. The bars closed down. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't it be amazing if we had such a revival and that bar in the corner closed down? Amen. Wouldn't it be amazing if that adult bookstore closed down? Amen. Amen. Yes. Wow. Listen to this. The entire police force was dismissed for 18 months due to a lack of crime. In fact, one of the few court cases that came to trial, the man admitted his guilt. The judge then led him to Christ. And the jury closed out the case by singing a hymn. Wow. Can you imagine that happening in the Supreme Court of America? Huh? turn us. God, turn us. Someone said this, to turn us means to turn from our sins, bring us to repentance, make us willing to forsake every evil way. I was visiting somebody this week, shut in. They showed me their Bible, and out popped this little pamphlet, and I said, oh, I remember that. I gave that out a couple years ago. It says, Heart Searching for Prayer, Preparation, and Personal Revival. And I checked my office, I still have a bunch of them, and I put them out on the table there. Can I encourage you to pick one of these up? I think everybody ought to have one of these, and I don't have time to order more. Maybe take one per family. But inside, and I got some highlighted here that just stuck out to me, but inside there's about 23 different sections here that you can pray in 23 days, or we only have a week, so you might want to, or maybe take it through the next week, but however God leads you, pray for one or two. And it tells you to examine your heart, and listen, this is convicting, and I've read these to you before in years past, but just listen to a few of these. It says, read Matthew 6, 12 to 14. Ask yourself, is there anyone against whom you hold a grudge? Anyone whom you have not forgiven? Anyone you hate? Number two, we said, read Matthew 6, 33, which says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And the question we need to ask ourselves, is there anything in which you have failed to put God first? And so you ask yourself these questions and you confess them to the Lord. Mark 16, 15, which talks about going into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Have you failed to seek the lost for Christ? Day four, John 13, 35, are you secretly pleased over the misfortunes of others? Number five, Acts 20, 35, have you robbed God by withholding his due of talents, time, and money? Day six, 1 Corinthians 4, 2, are you undependable so that you cannot be trusted with responsibilities in the Lord's work? Day seven, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, are you in any way careless about your body? Do you fail to care for it as the temple of the Holy Spirit? Go on and on and on. You know, sometimes we think, well, I'm doing pretty good. Well, they say, I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't go around with those that do. You know what? And we pat ourselves on the back. What's your relationship with the Lord? Is he first priority in your life? Do you seek to win others to Christ? Are you daily attending God's house? Are you putting him first? Or we'd fall far short. And if we confess those sins to God and we get right with God, God wants to do a revival in our hearts. And listen, you say, well, I don't care whether I get revival or not. Do you want God's blessing on your home? Do you honestly want God's blessing on your children? Then you need to be revived. Do you want God's blessing on this church? Then you need to be revived in your heart, not pointing somebody else or that. No, me. God, me. Do we want to see revival in this community? Do we want to see revival in our nation? You say, oh, our nation's too big. Hey, it can start with one church and one place, like with Evan Roberts preaching that Wednesday night prayer meeting where 17 people came after. It was after the church. How many of you willing to stay for 2 hours after Wednesday night prayer meeting is dismissed? They did, and they got revived, and it spread. Hey, listen, it could start with you. It could start here, all right, if God gets a hold of some people. Look at the scripture again. It says, turn us. Is that your prayer? Turn us, O God of our salvation. And then notice he says, because he's realized he's under the anger of God. He says, cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Hey, do you think God's angry with America? You better believe it. We're living in probably, can I tell you this? We're living in probably the most difficult times in America we've ever lived in. Would you agree with that? Nod your head. Yes, I do. There's never been a time that sin has been on the rampage like it has been, and it's coming even to Altoona. They had a parade the other week. Listen, folks, don't say I'm fine with my Christianity. Hey, there has never been a time that's more important than ever to be right with God and revived. And teenager, young people, hey, sometimes Evan Roberts was 26 years old and God used him in an amazing way. Don't think I'm too young. Hey, sometimes the youth, if the youth of the church get revived, that old church gets revived. I didn't plan to say this, but I remember back in my dad's church growing up, I was in a youth group that I remember a couple people in that youth group, they said, hey, we need to do something. I remember us sitting around in a circle, about 10 of us. I was only seventh grade, and so some of the others were older, much older than I. But they said, we need to do something and pray to God for God to work in a great way. And they got on fire for the Lord, and God did do some amazing things with that youth group. He says, God, I don't want your anger. And notice, by the way, notice he did not pray just for God to cease his anger. He prayed, really, God, revive me first, and then once I'm revived, your anger will cease. And notice he says us. He doesn't say turn them, O God. Now, I don't think the psalmist was probably one of the sinners, the greatest sinners, but he identified himself with that group. You know, we can identify ourselves with our church. We can identify ourselves with our community and our country. God, would you turn us? Turn me, turn us. Notice also, it's ultimately God that does it. He prays, Lord, would you do it? And we need to pray that because we're stubborn, aren't we? Myself included. And he said, Lord, turn us because I'm stubborn. God, get a hold of my heart. I think one thing Wendell Calder does, I've seen him do it before, he'll probably do it again. He'll ask, before he even preaches, how many of you be willing to do whatever God wants you to do before I preach? That's a good thing to pray. God, help me to be willing. Whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to change, just be like a surgeon. Just prick my heart, go in, and just tear me up, Lord, that I might confess. And there's power in confession, isn't there? Confession of sins and getting right with God. Okay, turn us. Look at the second one, very similar, verse 6. Revive us, revive us. We sing that song, Revive Us, again. That's where it comes from right here. We ought to sing it. For the Christian and the lost alike, we want to see the lost revived. We want to see the Christian revived. John Phillips, in his commentary on this verse in Psalm, says this. He said, revival is that mighty work of the Spirit wrought in the soul of a nation on a massive scale which can bring thousands of people into an experience of salvation. This, in turn, affects every phase of national life. And then he says this, listen, reformation only changes the outward. Revival changes the inward. You know, we can go around and petition and say, oh, let's close this store or do that or petition the government. But listen, real change won't happen until it occurs here, won't it? Turn us focuses more on the individual. Revive us focuses more on the nation. All right, and the psalmist remembers some of these revivals under David and Hezekiah and Josiah and says, God, do it again. Like the Great Awakening, Lord, do it again. The Second Great Awakening, do it again. The Welsh Revival, D.L. Moody, Spurgeon, or all these great preachers, Finney, Lord, do it again. Do it again. But can I show you something else in verse number 6? Look what it says. Lord, wilt thou now revive us again? And then it says this, that thy people, and here's another result of revival, that thy people may rejoice in thee. You know, more rejoicing, greater rejoicing comes as a result of the revival. Let me read you again. History, the Welsh Revival. And some have said this. They said there was a remarkable, widespread passion for singing at these revival meetings. When one man was asked if he thought the revival could spread to other countries, he replied, can the people sing? That's the question to be answered before you can decide that. Hitherto, the revival has not strayed beyond the track of the singing people. It has followed the line it's followed the line of song, not of preaching. Interesting. He says those people sang like never before. G. Campbell Morgan, who was a preacher in London, visited, all right, Wales when this revival was going. And here was his commentary about what was happening in Wales. Listen, this is interesting. Think about the rejoicing. He said he was stunned by the energy of their worship. He said, no books, but oh my, I nearly wept tonight over the singing of our last hymn. When these Welshmen sing, they sing the words like men who believe them. How about that? They abandon themselves to their singing. We sing as though we thought it would not be respectable to be heard by the man next to us. No choir, did I say? It was all choir and hymns. I stood and listened in wonder and amazement as that congregation on that night sang hymn after hymn, long hymns, sung through without hymn books. They sang like they really meant them. Oh God, would you send revival that our singing and praise to you would be like never before. Revive us again. Turn us. But then notice the third one. And I'm just going to say, mercy us. Now, I'm borrowing something from Mark Smith there a little bit when Mark Smith came, and I never forgot it. He didn't say, have mercy on us. He's just, mercy us. Mercy us. What's mercy? Verse 7 says, show us thy mercy, O Lord. Grant us thy salvation. Now, I think this is where it gets right down to the heart of the matter. We can pray, Lord, turn me. We can pray, Lord, would you revive me? Would you revive us? Would you turn us? But Lord, would you have mercy? You see, mercy is not something we ask for much anymore. Mercy is God withholding what we do deserve. I often think about the playground bully that's beating the kid up, or maybe he's got him pinned. What does that guy on the bottom do? Mercy! Say mercy or something. You know. Stop doing what you're doing. Withhold from me what you're doing to me, or what you're going to plan to do. Have mercy. You know why we don't cry for mercy much anymore? It's because we've got this entitlement thought in our mind. What does that mean? Entitlement thought in our mind is that people owe me something. Isn't that true with our society? Everybody thinks that people owe them something. The world owes me a living. I'm owed groceries on my table. I'm owed somebody to pay my electric bill. People owe me this. I am owed to, people owe me a nice environment in which to live. People owe me a new car. People owe me this and that. Listen, the men of Scripture, the great men of God, just pled for God's mercy. God, you don't owe me anything. And that's the way we need to be with God. God, you don't owe me anything. In fact, if I got what I deserve, I'd be in hell today. Duncan Campbell, the leader of the evangelist of the revival in the Hebrides Islands in 1949, he would often preach, and one thing those that observed that revival, he would say over and over again, he would use the phrase, you're a hell-deserving sinner. And we all are. Lord, have mercy. God, have mercy. Would you mercy me? He did when we got saved. But Lord, but we need it in our Christian lives as well. Oh, God, I don't deserve a new car. I don't deserve a new house. God, I don't deserve groceries on my table. God, I don't deserve your blessings. God, I don't deserve, but Lord, mercy me. Mercy me, Lord. I need your mercy. You know, you look at these words again, turn us, revive us, mercy us. You know, the key to revival is your heart. Do you want God's blessing? Do you want God's blessing in your life? Do you want God's blessing in your family? Do you want God's blessing in your church, in your community, and nation? Hey, may we pray this prayer. Heartfelt prayer to God. God, would you turn us? Would you revive us? Would you mercy us? Prayer starts with confession. Open your hearts to him. If you're lost today, the prayer you need to pray, God, turn me that I might be saved. If you've never experienced salvation, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, not 100% sure you go to heaven when you die, your prayer needs to be, Lord, turn me to you, Lord, that I might be saved. And God will hear from heaven and will save your soul. Let's bow in prayer.